The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw On Your Questions, episode 366, the first episode, 2020. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
People, also answer your cat questions.
Yes. Yeah, you should have thrown us cat questions for the last episode, you know? Amen. You know, we will answer questions, you know, off air and on air. That's what we do around here. So, yes, the question show is back for another 50 episodes, man. It's going to be a wild ride. And as you can see, some of us have a little bit of an upgrade. I got new lightings going on my end. Manny looks a little bit sharper there. You know, we would have had Chris on camera. He actually has his computer. They finally got it back to him. They sold him a lemon. Can you believe that shit? They sold him a lemon, you know?
I can't. Yeah, if you own a lot of PC part companies, like, it's a handoff, man. Customer service is awful. Shipping takes forever. Sometimes you'll get a computer and it won't necessarily be put together correctly. But for some fucking reason, you can get PC parts available and cheaper often than you could buy them if you bought just the part. I don't know how it's possible. Some kind of deals, I'm assuming, you know, in the supply. But still, I actually had to buy a computer from iBuyPC. And I got it, and I had to reseat the motherboard before it would work. But I got it for cheaper than its components.
Isn't that the problem? Chris had, like, his motherboard was dead. It's like, how, if you guys would have turned the computer on, you would have noticed that before you shipped it. You know?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like a fundamental issue. And then you have to, like, they argue with you about you having to pay like $200 to ship it back. It's a big fucking hassle. So it's one of those, like, you kind of judge it in terms of, like, it's really cheap PC, and I can actually get the components I want here, but I'm in for an infinite amount of headache.
Here's the interesting thing. Don't they install the operating system into the PC?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Then
how the fuck did they start it?
I honestly think they just put it together and shipped it. I don't even think they tested. If they would have tested it, you would have seen that instantly, you know?
But I'm guessing that they had like a separate computer where they use that to install Windows on the drive, and then they just put it on, and then they take the drive out and put on something else.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay,
that could be it.
Yeah, but isn't that insane, man?
But still, like, just turn on the PC just to check.
Turn
like,
it on.
It's turn it on. Check, you know?
You know?
That's a whole job. There should be just a guy quality checking, turning PCs on, being like, yep, seems to work. Or, nope, this is leaking mineral oil.
Yeah,
it literally takes a minute.
Yeah, or unless we've got a good SSD, you know. Oh man, and then meanwhile, because you know he got it from NZXT like I did, my shit's been running fine, you know. So I guess they turned my shit on just to make sure, you know. I've been running it through its paces, but I can't talk about which game I used until later this week, you know. All right, man. So let's get into it. So we are back. Oh, by the way, before we start, a little bit of a down note, but we got to do it. I got to give this man a shout out because he was in so many of our childhoods, and he unfortunately passed away. Mr. Bob Saget passed away, 65 years old, man. We don't know the cause of death at the moment. The coroner said it doesn't look like drugs or foul play, but yeah, man, that's sad because again, that guy was like, you know, was a Full House, America's Funniest Home Videos, you know, and then later on, you know, when you find out the real stuff with Bob Saget, how raunchy this guy was as a comedian, how good he was, it's like, damn. And he was still doing his thing. Like his last tweet was like less than 24 hours ago. He was getting hyped for a show that he was getting ready to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, man. My, you know, literally when I was born into Full House.
Yeah.
And that's what I watched when I was a kid. And Tony tweeted it out, and it's like, yeah, America's funniest home videos is literally like YouTube before YouTube.
It's YouTube before YouTube. Exactly. So yeah, I just had to give him a little bit of respect there. Cause again, we all knew the guy, we all liked the guy. He was part of our lives, man. It's crazy, you know, generations and stuff. So shout out to Bob Saget, you know? And with that, we're going to get into some questions. The first one, this one is based on some controversy that happened on Twitter today.
Oh, really? What's this controversy?
Okay, so Techland, right, the people behind Dying Light 2, they tweeted out that the game is going to have 500 hours of content for completionists, right? Obviously, people went fucking crazy, you know? People on both sides of the fence and all that. Now, my initial take was like, okay, great. I'm not playing this fucking game. That's my friend. I am not fucking doing this, right? But you know, they had to come out and explain themselves, and basically, hold on, I'm doing this all wrong. First episode of the year, I'm fucking it up already, man. Uh-oh. I'm fucking it up. All right,
we're doing it live.
Yeah. The first question is from a Syrian Air Force. He goes, "Hey everyone, Happy New Year. Hope you all had a great New Year's. Thank you, sir."
There we go. You too, man. Appreciate it.
You know, so actually, I was actually okay. I had to explain the situation, you know, to us, you know, go to his question. But yeah, so that's what happened. There was two sides of it. And then Techland had to come out and be like, oh, no. We meant that if you take all the different playthroughs and all the and doing all the side content, then it'll be $500. The actual game is 70 to 80 hours. I'm like, for a zombie shooting game, that still sounds excessive, but at least that's reasonable, you know? But anyway, so his question is, and we'll jump on it, and then Brett, you could give your take. Do you prefer a 500 hour game with a ton of content, or do you prefer a well-made 12 to 16 hour game with a solid story and rate playability? I think you know my answer. I do not put a dollar value, because there's some people, and it's fine, that they go, I paid $60, $70, I need X amount of hours. That's fine. I'm not like that. I'm like, did I get a good experience from the money I paid? That's what I care about. So there's two different camps here. But Brett, before we started, you said that I was looking at this the wrong way. So what do you say?
I mean, I think you are. Like, here's my opinion. Completionist games have gotten a little fucking out of hand. I think Assassin's Creed Valhalla is an example of like, okay, we have jumped the shark on this one.
Yeah, nobody Brett, I need to just stop you real quick. This game would be five times bigger than that.
I know. Like, it's insane. You can't make a game like this a service without actually saying that you're going to make it a service, because it changes people's perception. So I would advise Tony, you to think of it this way, because obviously there's going to be a linear path through the game that is probably maybe 35, 40 hours on a long haul. And you're gonna, I think you need to learn to put your blinders on. And I know that you've done it. I've seen it in Monster Hunter. And I think that that's how you should consider this game. I'm sure there's a ton of objectives and a ton of things you can complete. But at a certain point, you just go, fuck it, I'm gonna do this part. And I think having us as a crew and kind of playing multiplayer will help with that. But just think of it as a multiplayer game with a shitload of content. You don't need to collect it. Even as a completionist, it's absurd in this sense.
Yeah. Again, here, and I said, I'm glad you brought up Monster Hunter, because I did tweet, Monster Hunter is probably the game I put the most hours into. It's like 283 hours, but that was over the course of, that's still not 500, by the way. That's over the course of 4 years with new content, and I was streaming with you guys, right? So that obviously bumped it up, right? This is 500 hours on day one. Like, you can understand how, as a completionist, that sounds really fucking daunting. You know, like, Monster Hunter at launch was not nearly that long, you know?
You know that stretch. Well, I mean, if you talk about it in the sense of how long would it have taken you to beat the game with every single weapon and do all of the content?
And I think that's what they're doing. I think they're doing, like, okay, like, for example, let's just say, this is just me speculating right now. If there are five different endings to this game, right, and each playthrough takes you 100 hours, then I could understand that. And I think that's what they're probably doing, you know, but I think it may have backfired on them, you know?
See, I think it's going to be – I don't think it's going to be that grandiose even. It's going to be – okay, so you know in Monster Hunter when you go like the little biology quest that tell you to go out and kill five lizards or whatever the fuck it is, and there's a list of like 900 of the fucking things – I think it's going to be like that. And they're like, each one of these is an hour. So here's 900 hours of content. You're like, okay, but nobody's going to fucking do these this dinky little side quest because it's essentially just bring me X amount of this.
It sounds like bad marketing. That's what it sounds like. I think they should have worded it differently because a lot of people were like, hold on, 500 hours to play this whole fucking game? No. You know,
yeah, there's no way, son. No way, son. I mean, and that's if you feel the need to pull out every single, you know, touch every single piece of content in the game. Yeah. And I think a lot of it, even for a completionist, I've seen people like, I'm like, Monster, like you have not tried to complete every piece of content in Monster Hunter. You're just not going to try. You're just going to look at it and be like, no, I'm good. No, I'll do a couple.
Unless your name is Brian.
Yeah.
I was just about to say.
I bet you that Brian hasn't even if you look at it the way these people are, Brian probably still hasn't completed all of Monster Hunter because there were some things that he could have done that weren't necessary for the platinum.
Yeah. By the way, real quick, Brian, publicly shout out to you, man. Getting the platinum in, that is fucking an achievement right there, dude. Holy shit.
You have no idea how dead I am inside afterwards.
As dead as I'm going to feel after playing Dying Light 2 for 500 hours.
All I want to say is, like, you know how, like, we all love the soundtrack of Monster Hunter and it's great?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Imagine having to listen to the same song for hours on end with no variation. It will kill you. Like, I'm now at the point where I am now just okay with the Nergigante soundtrack. I used to love it, like, last year, but now I'm just like, okay, you can just calm down a bit because I'm just tired of it.
No, Brian. Yeah. Why don't you cut out the music in the menu and then just play something?
Oh, I did. I ended up listening to Joe Rogan's podcast because I got tired of it.
Joe Rogan, you crazy?
Like, I think towards the end, I end up fighting and defeating Nergigante at least 50 times in a row.
In a row. Oh,
damn. Yeah. Because I was after the small crown for so long and just would not pop. And then I ran out of investigations, so I had to farm to get more and then to farm again. It's like, it's killing me. But at least now I'm now incredibly good at fighting him because I know pretty much all his moves.
But you see right there, and I'm glad you brought this up because that's the problem. When you have a game that's that long, you're going to be like, I hate this. I want out. But if you're a completionist, you're kind of stuck there. You know, so I think, you know, that those type of people that have that predilection like me, they're looking at it like, oh, fuck, you know, but thankfully I have the good, you know, the wherewithal to be like, yeah, I'll just skip it. Fuck it. You know, but I think, Brett, you're probably right. The game is probably really like 30, 40 hours with a campaign, maybe another extra 20 hours with side shit. I think they're just literally going for every variable that this game has and just putting it into the playtime and going, it's 500 hours, but obviously kind of backfired on them.
That's what most video game companies do. Like, yeah. I mean, this isn't anything new. I mean, whenever people started complaining about game length, that's when they always would start saying, well, the campaign is actually this, and you know, if you play all the different things together, you get over 50,000 hours of play.
Yeah,
you know, to quell any of the people going, man, I don't want to play this game. It's not long enough, even though we mostly don't finish this shit.
Yeah. You know, I should also bring up the fact that, like, different games, like, they have a different expectation of how long they should be, right? Like, a JRPG, 100 hours, you're like, yeah, that sounds about right. But, like, a FPS type of game, like, 100 hours? Are you fucking crazy? You know? So, yeah, if this game is as long as the original Dying Light, fine. That's fantastic, you know? But 500 hours, yeah.
I suspect it's about as long as the original Dying Light, just filled out with a bunch of side quests and bullshit.
Yeah, but at the same time, this game may have all that content because this game's been worked on forever, you know?
I mean, it also has that crazy base building shit that they supposedly had, or did they drop that? I don't remember.
I don't remember if it does or not.
I remember they were saying, at least in the original, you know, talking about this game years ago, they're like, yeah, you could literally, you know, build your own town.
Yeah. I mean, does anybody else want to jump in with this? Carlos, what's your take?
The first thing that came to mind is just thinking of of all the games that I probably put 500 hours into, is I could probably count them on my hand.
Yeah.
Thinking of a random game like Dying Light, something that I'm not particularly looking forward to, It's like, I don't know. I don't know who this is for. More power to them. But if it's at the risk of, you know, sacrificing the quality of the mainline game that most people will play, then, you know, it's gonna affect it in a negative way. But I feel like Assassin's Creed is going through a fatigue.
Oh yeah,
a lot of the fan base is really, you know, fatigued with that game, even though they still support it, but not to the extent that they used to. I don't know. Dying Light, that doesn't seem like a 500 hour game to me, unless like the super hardcore people that play multiplayer all the time. But
I've never heard of a game being like sold as that. Have you? A 500 hour game. Like, am I tripping? Like, has this ever been any game ever advertised like that?
I don't know. I mean, they've always, you know, I mean, whenever
with MMOs, they don't say shit like that. You know,
RPGs, they always used to do that. They always used to tout the game length because of the, you know, because they're known as, you know, RPGs in general are known as long games. Yeah,
but this is an RPG, so it's just very curious.
Well, I mean, yeah, they have done the sort of, you know, over 500 hours of, you know, not 500 hours of content, but over 100 hours of content.
Oh yeah, yeah, but I'm talking about like that very specific number. You know,
there are those thresholds. There's the over 20 hours. That's one of the popular ones. And then there's over 100 hours usually reserved for JRPGs and those types of games.
Yeah, you've heard that, those type of ads for sure. But 500.
But 500, I mean, 500 is definitely not something that I've ever heard. And I mean, is anybody looking forward to playing this game?
I was until this. Because I had fun with Brett and Chris playing the original one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, bro. But here's the thing. I'll just wait till some people review it and see what's up. Thankfully, I could pick and choose what I want now to review. That's so that's good. But it brought up some interesting. I should say this though. I was very surprised by the lack of toxicity in my comments today, man. I said my piece, but people were, you know, some people got riled up, obviously, but it was actually okay. You know, I was very surprised by that. It was like,
it's Dying Light 2.
Yeah, Dying Light 2. Yeah, yeah. I guess. I mean, maybe that's why.
It's not a Sony first party game or a Microsoft first party game or a Nintendo first party game.
No, dude, hold on. You fucked me up right now because you're right. Let's just say, for example, if I had said the exact same things I said, but you put Horizon Forbidden West in there,
mm-hmm.
You already know the reaction, bro. You already know.
It's just, you know, there's people like to argue, you know, because you can only argue just as like much for a game like Dying Light 2, but when people want to argue for, let's say, Horizon or God of War, then it'll inevitably go to the whole fanboy war kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's,
you know, yeah, you're right. There's no fanboyism here because that game's on everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. All right. Dying Interest. That's not too big.
And it's not even like one of those games like Call of Duty, which is one of the big ones, or GTA. It's not even nowhere near those levels. So yeah,
and you're right. That's one of the things people said in my comments. Like, yeah, I'll wait. You know, they like, yeah, you're right. The enthusiasm is not really there for it. That's probably why people weren't like fucking going insane in the comments. You know,
but then also at the same time, like again, I guess it goes back to what Carlos said. Like there are games that Carlos has put in 500 hours into, but then how many of them have you done all the content for? Like. I'm pretty sure, again, I can say for myself that I don't think there's one game I've done all the content or seen all the content for at all. Even though that's games. No, not even. Well, that's like one of those ever-changing games, so yeah. There's no way to catch up.
That's true.
Maybe
God of War 3, because technically to get the platinum, you need to do everything.
Yeah. But
again, most games I don't see all the content for. Again, go back to Monster Hunter World. Again, I put in 600 hours, done the expansion, got the platinum. But even I know that I've not done all the content. Like, there are arena quests I've not done. There are event quests I've not done. And I know that. So I've not even seen 100% of that content.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done it for the first three Halo games, but they're not, the biggest.
Yeah.
So, again, I seen the tweets, and I was like, okay, to fully... again, I'm reading the tweets verbatim. To fully complete Dying Light 2 Stay Human, you'll need at least 500 hours. Almost as long as it will take to walk from Warsaw to Madrid. So I seen that, and I thought, okay, so to fully complete it, 500 hours, fair enough. So in my head, I had, okay, that's all the quests, all the side quests, all the collectibles, all the multiple endings and whatnot it has. Fair enough, 500 hours, that sounds incredibly healthy, which is fine. Because one of the other complaints that we have is that these companies will add DLC that's already been there since day one, or they'll cut out content from the game and feed you to it, or feed you it as DLC later on. To me, it just seems like TechLite have just said, okay, you know, let's just try and give you everything day one. So when Tony said, oh, that's 500 hours day one, it's like, yeah, this is what we would like them to do, like not take out content and give us it later on, make us pay for it when it's already done, just give us everything and say, okay, boom, here it is. And it's 500 hours long for everything. Once again, I don't see everyone doing everything. So for the ones that don't want to do everything, then there's still the direct route where you can play your single ending and call it quits. That's fine. But then what about people that want to do like the multiple runs, want to see like multiple endings, want to look under every single rock? Then we have enough content there to keep us happy for some time. So I still see that as a good thing. I mean, if we apply this to stuff like GTA, you know, like GTA, you can get like through the story mode in what, 20 hours or so, give or take. Like if you like do the usual amount of killing sprees and just nonsense stuff, that's fine. But then if you want to go through and do all the side quest stuff, all the random taxi missions you can do, collect all the UFO things, see that stuff, or do all these achievements, then yeah, then there's a lot of health content. Exactly, like the stupid amount of content there for you to do. I'm talking only about the single player here, not the online stuff.
Yeah, so there's still take forever, you know.
Yeah, so there's still like a healthy amount of content for you to do, but you don't have to do at all. And I think that's one of the things that was maybe lost when people started to talk about it, because I see it as it's 500 for everything possible. Like it's 500 hours for just everything, you know, like leave no stone unturned. That's 500 hours. To me, I'm like, cool, that's fine. But if you still want to have like your single player thing where you simply just blast through the game, call it quits, and that's it, then that's fine, you know? Like, again, I'm pretty sure that won't be more than 15 hours, 20 hours or something. If you just want the content, mess around for a bit and call it quits.
Yeah, I think that's what they did. It just like literally took every single variable possible just to get the, you know, to inflate the perceived play time, you know, because you're right. Like you cannot, even if you get the platinum, you're still not seeing 100% of the game. Right. But I think, yeah, they literally just took every single variable possible and threw it in there, you know,
They could have like inflated it.
They could have too.
Just not calculating it in like the most reasonable way. So again, as I think it was Carl said, like if the game, or Tony said, like if the game has like five endings and each one takes like 100 hours, then they can say, okay, one ending is 100 hours, so times that by five, you get 500.
Yeah,
that's what I think. Not really true, because again, like if ever you've like played the game more than once, you know that second time round is always faster, because again, you know what's going to happen. You know the controls better. You know what's going to happen better, you know what the objectives will be, and you know fast ways of doing it. So each playthrough gets slightly faster. So whether or not they accounted for that when they looked at multiple endings, I don't know. I highly doubt that. So, yeah. Again, it all depends on how they calculated it. We have no idea.
Yeah, that's true. All right, man. Good conversation there. Move on to the next question. Also from Assyrian Air Force. Okay, what do you all make of IGN's top 100 games of all time list? I feel it catered to one company over others when certain games didn't make it. Also, with the Throwdown Crew ever collaborate to create a 100 games list of all time? Let's answer the second part first. No.
No, because
we can't agree. Well, this is why we never have a top 10 games of the year, because we can't agree on anything, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we'll we know what number one is.
Depends on the year, though.
No, it's Metal Gear 3.
Yeah, for me.
Because there's two people in the panel that are for sure going to vote for it.
Yeah.
The rest is probably going to be different.
Yeah, no, you're right. You see, but that proves the point. We can never really get it to a consensus here. So, no, that's not going to happen. You know, plus, and this is true of IGN's thing, who cares? Who gives a shit? You know? Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, the question is like, specifically about IGN. I didn't see it. I don't give a fuck. Who cares? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really. I mean, you know, granted, I guess it's because it's IGN and people are giving it attention, but I've never cared about what IGN thinks is the top 10.
Or any publication. Who gives a shit, you know?
Yeah.
It's a waste of time. And I don't understand why people give so much credence to that type of stuff, you know?
Well, like, you know what the deal is. It's because it's them, because it is them and they're a well-known publication, and that's why people give it any sort of credence. Like it's the end all be all of whatever it's supposed to be, but it really isn't.
Yeah, there's. I'm looking at their top 10. There is no JRPG in their top 10. Yeah, they're disqualified.
Gives a shit. Well, it could all be JRPGs. Who cares?
JRPG in their top 20 either.
That's the same thing I have. That's the same issue that I sort of have with the Game Awards. The Game Awards are very Western centric. They barely. Put any of the any games that are outside of the United States, with the exception of the top tier, you know, the higher ones. There's so many games that get released in the end, and a lot of them people have played here. Don't they deserve some sort of chance to get on there? No, it's like the Academy Awards when they have their international section. But yet and all, every so often, an international movie somehow makes it over to the main category. How does that even work?
Had to get to number 24 to get to a JRPG. By the way, who asked the question? Was it Muppets?
Who asked the question? Assyrian Air Force.
Oh, Assyrian Air Force. Yeah, I'm guessing he's assuming that this thing is heavily skewed towards Nintendo.
What was number one by any chance? Is it Breath of the Wild?
Of course.
Why not surprised?
Breath of the Wild is number 5.
Oh, really? Oh, what's number 1 then?
What list am I looking at?
Super Mario World, unless this is an old list.
This is posted in 31st of December 2021.
Yeah, we're looking at the latest one, Brian.
Top 100 video games of all time.
Oh.
I'll link it
What are you looking at? I'm not surprised by them. You know, that's the industry darling.
It's not only that. Zelda's like... they're twice in the top 5.
In the top 5?
Or yeah, let me go back.
Yeah.
It's number 4, Link to the Past, which should be there. And then Breath of the Wild is number 1.
Yeah.
But the Super Mario World is number 2. Super Metroid is number 5. Super Mario 64 is number 7. Super Mario Bros. 3 is number 11. So it's Nintendo heavy. I mean, and a lot of those are deserving,
cares?
But
who cares? I don't know. Again, people give too much credence to the type of stuff, you know.
Yeah,
and
I think, to be honest,
it's like it's also very 90s centric. You know, if we're talking about all time games, this also means games should come from earlier on. But perhaps a lot of the people that are even creating this top 100 list weren't even born when a lot of these games have even existed or even played them.
Well, today's IGN for sure.
Yeah, I was about to say, you said 90s heavy. Yeah, you know why, right? Because they were playing these games in the late 90s when they were kids, you know, or early 2000s. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, if Thor and I ever did one, which we won't, it's like we'd have a ton of 80s games in there as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
These lists are so, you know. And it's not a dig at IGN, it's just any of these publications. Even if we did one, it'd be stupid too. It doesn't fucking matter, you know?
If I do one, it's definitely the definitive.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild will obviously be on the top of that list.
I won't even have it in my top 100. I'll tell you that. You know,
it might be 100. It might make 100, or know. But everyone's gonna have their own set different lists. Nothing's ever gonna align with anything. Especially with what's it called? Today's IGN. Because if IGN did a list today with the staff that they have today, it'll be different than the staff they had 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. It'll be different when the actual founders of IGN were actually doing it. Because none of those guys are even at IGN. I think they all sold off their stuff.
They're probably not even in the industry, you know?
Nah, I don't think they are.
Yeah, so a lot of different generations. This generation's IGN's list.
Yeah. All right.
You know that picture of all those guys doing those, like, yeah, you know, like that meme? That's
those guys,
all yeah. Those are the founders of IGN. So, yeah. It's from, like, what was it? Like, from E3. So, yeah. I don't even think any of those guys even work at IGN.
Yeah.
I'm just going through, like, the list, and it just seems like again, as you guys said, it's very current stuff. Like I'm like I'm trying to find games that were like PS1 and before, and
no,
apart from like Super Mario 64, I don't think there is.
Symphony of the Night. Oh yeah, Super Mario 64 was 97, I think.
Like, I don't think there's anything prior to the 90s on this. Maybe Tetris, I think I've seen that somewhere, but that's like the only thing I
can find. Well, that's a token.
Released like 50 million times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It just feels weird just reading it. Again, I don't know which Doom they put on there, because I'm guessing the first one, but even then.
I feel like the list is things they actually agree on and things that they feel that they should put on there.
Yep.
And I think Tetris is one of those ones where it's a one that they feel that they should acknowledge it, but it's not even in like the top 10.
Well, Manny, what you just said, think of the next, not Tetris, but the next thing that would be another consensus one, but it's not there.
Metal Gear?
No, it's like one of those pioneering games that, changed the industry.
Mm-hmm.
That,
yeah.
Like Pong is not there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Pong's not in there. But probably most of these people who are there have never played Pong before.
Yeah, no, you're right. All right, let's move on. I don't want to talk about this. Yeah, again, I'm honest about it. I don't care about this stuff.
Oh, The Witness is here? Yeah, fuck this list. All right, let's move on.
All right, man.
It's such a mind-bending game.
To be fair, Tony, Titanfall 2 is there.
Okay, good for them, you know.
Adam would be happy.
Yeah.
They don't got my Rockstar table tennis.
Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball ain't on that bitch, man.
That doesn't change it. They don't think that changed the industry.
Yeah. All right. Sub Gator, what's going on, brother?
Mr. Gator.
All right, man. Move on. Next question. What is this? Who is this asking a question? Romu Death? Who that?
Mr. Romulan.
All right. The question is, okay, Linkin Park's Mike Shinoda went on Twitter to explain what NFTs could be implemented in games and got destroyed by game developers for his take. Should musicians tell game developers how NFTs work?
No, because they don't know fucking about technology. He's just some asshole who stands on a stage.
Let me read what this man said. So he goes, so here's something people aren't explaining. NFTs don't have to be JPEGs. Imagine taking your favorite skin from Valorant and using it in Fortnite and not paying extra because you own it, then using it in Call of Duty, Minecraft, and even Twitter or Instagram. That's not how it works.
That's not how it works, man. Especially when it comes to fucking IP. Every single video game studio would have to implement the same fucking graphic into every single game. Idiot.
I'm gonna read this tweet. This is from Rami Ismail. Game developer. He goes, Mike, I respect your work a ton, but to a game developer, this is like saying you can buy a single note for my music and use it to control the space station. It is not how it works. Interoperability barely works in one game series made by one developer. It's true. It barely works. Yeah, go ahead.
Kate Antonio is like, yeah, man.
Yeah. let's see. This is something. I'm reading some of this. This is my friend Richard Lawler. From Verge. It's really interesting watching how proponents of NFTs describe buying in-game skins in ways that make it very clear they don't play these games, have never purchased a cosmetic, and haven't even asked the people who make those games why these things are the way they are. Another good point, you know? Yeah.
And also, again, when we're talking about IP and all of that stuff, what would Nintendo want you to be using a fucking Xbox skin on their game?
Yeah.
No.
Exactly. I want to read this other. Yeah, I want to read this other one from my boy Mike Williams. He goes, I can't even buy the Transformers games or Deadpool on PC, and y'all want to talk about NFT skins and items? Cross-platform saves barely work for the same game from the same publisher, and folks are trying to act like Call of Duty Gun will work in Mario.
Yep. Yeah. Well, was he from Linkin Park? He's from Linkin Park, right?
He's the other singer. He's the rapper.
Oh, so he's not the one that goes, I tried to.
No, rest in peace. Rest in peace to him.
Yeah,
you
he's
know,
not that guy, right?
Chester.
Okay. Yeah, Chester passed away. Not him.
I don't know any of this.
Yeah, I never cared for that band.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also what people need to realize about this whole thing is like you guys mentioned, it's like there are different platforms on different games, different franchises, different companies. So we barely have crossplay for the same game
or cross saves, you know,
or cross saves. Yeah. And also, I think what people sometimes don't realize when they discuss this whole stuff with NFTs is the fact that the name is non-fungible, which means that there's only one of each.
Yeah.
Of whatever item. So it's not like, hey, I'm going to get a Mario hat. It's like, oh, so there can only be one guy with a Mario hat ever.
Yes.
Nintendo's not going to do that. They're going to try to sell as many hats as possible.
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
And they're not gonna put in the work to make different variations of all that of the hats.
Yeah. I'm laughing at what Bob hits just.
Oh,
he goes, Mike Shinoda.
Mike Shinoda.
Well, the younger kids won't understand that reference. Mm-hmm. Oh man, so, yeah, this dude just clowned himself, you know.
Yeah, come on, man. Like seriously. I mean, you ever notice that it's a lot of people in the music industry have been trying to get into this NFT shit?
Like of Snoop course.
Dogg and all these guys. They don't even know what the fuck they're getting into, man.
I just imagine a board meeting, right? You know, a bunch of executives like, hey, NFTs are high. What are they? I don't know, but buy them. You know, like, they don't know.
Throw some money at it.
Now, have you heard the latest one? So there's this chick for some reality show, I guess. I'm not kidding. She was selling her farts in a jar, right? Turns out that forcing farts is not good for you. So she ended up in the hospital for like a heart condition. Now she's going to convert from selling farts in a jar to selling fart NFTs. I am not making this up.
Okay. I feel like sometimes we're in a weird alternate reality where people are just stupid.
So we're in the darkest timeline, 100%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or Idiocracy just came true.
Yeah, Idiocracy came true. you could totally see that, like, as one of the things that they sell on their things. Like, I sell my farts in a jar.
Oh, man.
Out my ass?
That movie used to be a comedy.
Yeah, it used to be, yeah. Now it became a documentary, you know? All right, man.
Well, I mean, we came from times where, you know, parents willingly let their kids be sacrificed for their gods, and now we're buying fake farts online. So it's progress of a kind, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's true. You can see it that way. Oh my God! All right, man. It's more. Tumeke joining us also. He goes, "Happy New Year! Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year to everybody."
Happy New Year!
All right. First question here: what are the top three games you're looking forward to in 2022, confirmed or at least indicated for release? So nothing crazy, you know. Final Fantasy 16 ain't gonna be on there. Oh man. We're probably gonna get a Final Fantasy 16 NFT though, you know.
Yeah, we'll get that faster.
Let's see. Off the top of my head, Horizon, right, for Forbidden West, God of War Ragnarok, and Elden Ring. Those are my three. What about you, Carlos? You know, set.
I want to say, because you left out one, Tony, but I'm not looking forward to it as much as I would have in the past. Uh-oh. I don't know if you know what game I'm talking about.
I actually don't. The three games I listed are the only ones I know are coming out this year. I don't know what.
I guess it was announced for this year, but I don't think it's going to come out this year, but that's God of War.
Oh, Ragnarok? I mean, that is on there, but they said it's coming out this year. You know, we got a trailer.
Yeah, so I'll mention the two that are for sure are given, and that's Horizon Forbidden West and Starfield.
There you go.
Those are the two that I'm most looking forward to. The two that are on the fence.
Supposed to be three, though.
Yes. Well, I'm going to make an exception. They're a tie for third. And they're for different reasons, too. Elden Ring, because I think the reason why I'm looking forward to it is because a lot of people here are going to be playing it, and you know, we might even play together. We'll probably play together. So that's part of the cool thing of the Sealy tours and all that.
No, you're not going to get no Sealy tours. It's going to be the first time for him too, you know?
Well, no.
Check this out. Sealy tours start immediately. We go hard from the beginning.
Well, that too. But think about this. After the first weekend, I'll play like 5 hours of it. Chris will be done with the game.
That is true.
And that's what I'm looking forward to. And
Chris will be done with that, and I'll be neck deep in lore.
Well, and also the discussions that'll go on in the show, you know, we'll be talking about it, and most of us are going to be playing it, so it's going to be cool. So I'm really looking forward to that more than the actual game itself, really. That and God of War, you know, God of War, it's just another God of War game. But you know, I'm looking forward to it more for the story, just to see where it's going to leave off, and hopefully it gets better than the last game. But
Real quick, Mob Hits goes, don't forget about Dragon's Dogma 2. Yeah, I'm going to be waiting for that just like deep down, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right, Brett, what about you? Three games that you're looking forward to this year?
Hold on, I need a sandwich.
What kind of sandwich?
You want me to eat your sandwich?
I got a grilled mac and or fried mac and cheese burger.
Interesting.
Is it homemade? It's got a
No. The place delivers it. It's called the Mac Daddy. It's
fucking man. I like that name.
Big cheese, bacon cheeseburger with a fried mac and cheese patty on top. It's fucking. Anyway.
Yeah. Wait, mac and cheese patty?
Yeah, fried mac and cheese patty.
Oh, gotcha. I get it. Makes sense.
The Daddy Mac will make you.
Joe. All right, go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, so three games. Elden Ring, obviously.
No.
Elden who?
Elden Ring, Starfield, because I'm really looking forward to Starfield. Skyrim in space, sort of. I'm curious to see where Bethesda is going and what they're doing, if they're going to kind of stay in a traditional evolution of the things that they've done, or if this is their chance to try and do something new. I'm curious. And Dying Light, man. I had a lot of fun playing Dying Light. Yeah, I love the grappling hook. I love the fact that there's a button there to look behind you that you should never press, but it's still there. You know, I had a great time together. It's some of the most fun I've had playing video games with people outside of Monster Hunter. So, Brett, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm disappointed in you. You forgot the most important thing that you're looking forward to in Dying Light.
What's that?
The fact that it's 500 hours.
That's crazy. That's going to be a bunch of bullshit. Here's the thing. I don't care about hours of content. If I really like it, I'll play the same thing over again. You know, I've played Dark Souls, all the Dark Souls games, like three fucking times, man. So like it, and you know, here's the thing that gives me repeatable content is if I can do a level and then come back and help somebody else do that level, right? So like I'll play a level five times because I'll play escort. Remember last time I played, like I just zipline in and like rain down katanas and start fucking things up. I was Santa Batman in that.
Heh. All right, good stuff. Brian, what new games are you looking forward to? It's going to be an interesting answer.
Mine's actually not that exciting, unfortunately. Nothing's really grabbing me so far that I can remember. So Dying Light 2, because zombies, and pretty much what Brett just said. Like the fact that, I have to reiterate it because I think it's just the best, worst idea. They have a button that lets you look behind you. It makes no sense, but it's the best thing ever, honestly. Dying Light 2, Ghostwire Tokyo, because...
Well, I forgot about ghosts.
Everyone does, you know. And, sorry, Brett, but Starfield. I want to see what Bethesda can do. I want to see if they can make a game that doesn't fall apart. So it's more morbid curiosity than actually excitement. But if it's good, then, again, I like me some space games.
And Brian, we got Game Pass.
Yep, it's on Game Pass day one. So, yeah. I think I have a Game Pass until like 2025 now because of all these stupid ass deals. Well, you know how they are. It's like, hey, get Game Pass for like a third of the price for 6 months. It's like, why the fuck not? Stack that shit up.
All right. Manny, do you have any games you're looking forward to this year?
Not really. You know, whatever sort of shows up, you know, that catches my interest, but I haven't seen anything that really has sparked any sort of interest. I mean, I'd like to see what's up with Elden Ring, but I'm just a little bit over the night games. You know, the reason why I liked Bloodborne because it wasn't the same old night bullshit that these guys have been doing. So, I mean, it's cool that they have a little amount and it's open world.
But... when you say night, you mean K-N-I-G, right? Not night.
Night.
Yeah.
You know, like a night. You know, Knights of the Round.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just sort of over all the, you know, the knight slowly walking through things and with a slow or fast sword deal.
Wait, what? I'm sorry. What are we talking about?
Elden Ring. He says he's not hyped for it because he doesn't want to play another medieval type of game.
Yeah.
I thought it was Nighty Knights.
No, when he said knight, that's why I had to correct him. You mean with a K, right?
Yeah, with a knight. Because
I knew people weren't going to understand that.
You know, a knight in armor.
Yeah.
Another knight in armor game, you know?
Gotcha.
What you got against Knight, man? Knight is good. Bloodborne was all
like, Knight. It's kind of like Tony with Western games, where you're literally, I'm like, I do like knights and sorcery and all that stuff, but I feel like it's just the more of the same with From Software formula.
Yeah, I'm similar to Manny with those games, but I really appreciate them for what they are.
Oh yeah, so. No, it's not something that I really have any interest in really playing, but we'll see. You know, I'm sort of playing this next gaming era, you know, gaming year by year, you know.
Mm. One of the things I like about the game is you have the freedom to build elsewise, but it's kind of funny because, like, even in the, you know, even in Dark Souls, you'll be like, clearly the game is telling you, have heavy armor, bring your shield up, go slowly, be cautious. And then I come, you know, running around the corner full speed with a spear in one hand, a sword in the other, going, fuck you! Mm. So you can kind of, you have the power to undermine and build whatever character you want. You can build a Bloodborne in any Souls game. But if it's the setting you're talking about...
I'm not talking about the gameplay. I'm talking about the aesthetics.
Okay.
I don't, you know, yeah, okay, you can make a guy who has a whip chain or whatever, you know, as far as I know, you can literally build a Bloodborne character in the last Demon Soul, is it Dark Souls? Dark Souls. In the last Dark Souls game, you can literally build a build a Bloodborne character. That's cool, but I just am sort of over the aesthetic of Knight in horrible monster wasteland world. I mean, I would like to see something a little bit, you know, that's why I thought that when they did their samurai sort of ninja game, I'm like, okay, that's cool. You know, we're taking it into a different direction and stuff. And then now we're back to the familiar thing again, except now the world is open-ish.
Well, it's supposed to be now we're going to R.R. Martin's.
No, it's not. It's just...
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. I'm okay with that.
No, it's not. All it is just they asked him to fill out the lore, but they probably just had the same stuff. You know, like, hey, Miyazaki said, I want them, instead of them being, ashen, they are dot, dot, dot.
Leroy.
instead of spirit, they are dot, dot, dot. What do you got, George R.?
All right, move on here. Next question, also from Dume. All right, with the rumored The Last of Us remake coming with what sounds like revamped controls, etc., to be more in line with The Last of Us 2, what other first game in a series would you like to see remade with sequel updates? Interesting question.
Legacy of Kain.
The original one, yeah. With Soul Reaver controls, right?
Yeah.
That's a good answer, actually.
But the one thing about it is that, like, you'd literally have to totally revamp everything about Legacy of Kain to do that. Because remember, the original game was a top-down game.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but, you can carry the RPG element so much.
All right. Anybody else? This is actually a pretty tough question. I don't really have anything in mind. Because they already kind of did it with the first Mass Effect. They kind of made it play a little bit more. Although, it would have been nice if they went all the way, you know? If they made, like, one and two play like three, you know, that would have been dope. But that's not gonna happen.
The Republic.
I've never played it, so I don't have any input. By the way, Brad, I don't know how you feel about this. Apparently, Knights of the Republic, the remake is getting the Final Fantasy VII remake, where it's no turn based whatsoever.
It's fine.
Yeah. So that's a rumor. We don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised either, you know, because people don't like
turn-based. Well, that's what people, people don't, turn-based is not like general, you know, general audience friendly.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't really think of any games. I'm like, I don't know. I got to say this about The Last of Us. I'm probably going to get destroyed by The Last of Us people.
Oh, yeah?
The second game, again, please feel free to correct me. It didn't feel any different than the first one. Mechanically, it felt the same.
Well, no. Well, like,
am I missing something?
Here's one. Remember, you said that the control didn't feel as sluggish as the original.
Yeah, it's faster. That's about it.
So there you go.
But it's still fundamentally the same, you know.
The same, but it's not nearly as sluggish. It's a little bit more. It's at least from what I've seen, it looks like it's a little more. conducive to movement.
Yeah, it's faster.
Felt like,
yeah.
You literally felt like a like it almost felt like a Resident Evil game as slow characters were in the original one.
Yeah, I mean, I know the big difference is with Abby, you could fucking start punching the shit out of people, you know. But you know, you're right. Yeah, I guess like that counts. It's faster, you know.
Tony.
Yeah.
You're forgetting they will take any reason, any excuse to re-release a last game.
Yeah, I know. By the way, with that remake, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm done.
It's just this weird hardcore fan base that loves this pretentious ass bullshit.
Dude,
need a remake?
No, but
I don't understand why it even needs a remake it's not like it was a game that was so behind the times. If anything, you just take the same old fucking game, do some tweaks, put some fucking ray tracing, and call it a fucking day. Seriously, that doesn't need to be to have a whole remake or reimagining.
I bet you, Manny, that's all they did. They're going to charge you $70 for that shit.
The thing is, we already had a remake for the first game. We don't need another one. We're good. We had a remake already.
It was a remaster.
Yeah,
that was a remaster.
Whatever.
Who is buying Last of Us 4 times?
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand the mania for this game, you know, or the franchise in general. It's just fucking The Walking Dead, man. You know,
I only needed to play that game. Like, all right, I'm good. I don't need to play any of these games ever again.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, it's not that I hated the original one. I thought it was a very good game, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't need to go back in that world. I don't. What's the big deal?
Yeah, it was a very straightforward game. Don't be wrong. The first game, much better than the second
one. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It is a very straightforward. It's like a movie with a tight plot that knows where it's going. The second one just fucking meanders and gets depressing. But the first one, like, it fills out the characters it needs to fill out. It doesn't have a whole lot of subplot or side quest or anything like that. It's just the Joel and Ellie surviving and then having to make Sophie's choice. It's a brilliantly structured game.
Yeah.
So I do understand that the second one, not so much. I think in the second one, they were just kind of pulling from The Walking Dead where they're like, okay, let's have a bunch of interlapping story arcs that are all depressing. Yeah. And it just didn't work.
I was thinking about this the other day, Brett. You know what really frustrated me the most about The Last of Us 2? The parts with Ellie and Joel. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm like, why isn't the whole game this? Those parts were fucking awesome. They were great. All of them, right? I'm like, why could I get a whole game of this instead of this fucking Abby bullshit, you know?
I hate it when stories go, we skip past a bunch of really cool stuff. Now here's what's going on. Like, tell me the really cool stuff. Honestly, I think that the tone of the series would have gone better if you would have had lived through those middle parts and kind of realized, like, it's one thing to have a scripted, like, oh, I don't like this person because they did something. It's so much more impactful if, like, somebody you beat to death in the first game, like, there's a little girl in the corner, and then later you're like, oh, shit, that was that little girl. Like, make you, the player, do the action that you are now having revenge sought to you against at a later time. You have the ability in this medium to actually do that, put consequence to people's actions on a delayed course, right? Like, and that's what Mass Effect is. That's what we want. So even if it's scripted, you could do that. But then for some reason, you're like, nah, a bunch of middle stuff happened. We're going to do it in flashbacks. Fucking why?
Yeah. And I'm going to bring this up because the game's 3 years old now. Okay. Remember Red Dead Redemption 2, right? There's this one guy you beat the shit out of in the beginning of the game, right? He's coughing on you and shit. You beat the fuck out of him. Later on in the game, you find out, oh yeah, that guy that you beamed up, that coughed on you, he gave you some fucking syphilis and you're dying. I'm like, oh shit, I made the choice to beat this dude up. You know, they could have had that. They could have had somebody that Joel, you as Joel, killed in the first game, and it's their daughter trying to fuck you up. You would have been like, oh shit, I remember killing this motherfucker. That would have been cool.
But that would involve them having to think about this stuff in advance. And at no point did you ever see Abby, you know, cowering in the corner. You had the second game essentially tack on some other bullshit and be like, oh, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, bad storytelling. Anyway, no more about The Last of Us, but anyway, does anybody else have any answers? Brian, you got anything for games that need, you know, like the first game that would benefit from having the controls of the later games?
Not as such, but kind of along lines of it just deserves a remaster. Infamous 1 and 2. They were really, like, solid games, you know? Give us that. Like,
we already got remastering engines.
Like, instead of like remastering Bluepoint, get on it. You know, like there's a beloved franchise there, beloved games that aren't doing much, you know. I'm sure that, like, just imagine how they would look with like the Ghost of, like, Ghost of Tsushima. That's the same guys, right?
Bluepoint? No, that's not.
No, them. That did.
Sucker Punch.
Yeah, that's them, they did, right? Infamous. Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so just imagine like Infamous 1 and 2 looking like that. That'd be amazing.
Yes, the Last of Us show is coming out this year. I'm skipping. I don't care. Don't care. I stopped watching the Walking Dead for a reason. I don't need to be subjecting myself to that stuff, you know?
Actually, the timing is kind of bad. Family too. Show.
Hey, yeah, hey, watch this show about a fucking viral infection. Like, yeah, oh yeah, right. We need more of that.
Oh, you know? Goody.
We need more of that, you know? All right, man, let's move on. This one is... Cade Antonio, interesting question.
What up?
Can you convince me to get a PS5 this year?
No.
Oof. No, why would I need to convince you of anything? Actually, this is twofold. One, nobody here needs to convince... Nobody anywhere needs to convince you of anything. And second of all, good luck getting a PS5.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a better chance of finding a box to the PS5 than an actual PS5.
Yeah.
It's
I think he's right there. Shout out to him. He wants to convince. Dude, I don't have to convince you, man. Oh, here's the thing. Do you okay, let me I'm glad you're here. This is the question I want to ask you, brother. Do you want to get a PS5?
Oh.
Yeah. Now, we can answer you depending on your answer. But yeah, do you want, cuz if you don't want to get a PS5, don't. But if you do,
don't.
Buy it if you can find it. He goes, "I do not." Then don't buy it. Simple. There's your answer. Don't buy it. Yeah, as simple as that. Don't buy it. So, you know?
At no point are we ever here to sell you on any of these sorts of things. It's like if it has all the things that you are looking for, then pick it up. I mean, to be honest, you know, a lot of people are, you know, choosing the Xbox route these days. Yeah. You know, if it has, the main thing is does the thing have all the things that you are really looking for in a game, and that's the one you should go for. Your buddies are on there. You know, for some people, some people's buddies are all on there. Like where Adam has essentially rediscovered all of his buddies on Xbox Live.
You remember Julio? Remember Julio Manny?
Yeah, Manny. Remember Mr. Deets?
So it's like, yeah. What are the pros and the cons? You know, weigh your options. Like as of now, it just looks like, you know, we're not going to see a lot of those. Big cornerstone sort of things, with the exception of unless you're really interested in playing the new God of War or the Forbidden West. But you know, to be honest, you can play both of those on PlayStation 4.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I've been out of the loop for so long, and you know, I just got, you know, I got Dutch, and I started playing old games, and then I got an invite, and then, you know, a funny story, my psychologist, you know, he started talking to me about Xbox. His name is Little Nicky, and we just started playing.
Didn't I tell you that Adam is chomping at the bit to be back on
ready.
Xbox?
Yep.
He's ready. He has been ready for... The only reason why he even walked away from Xbox is because last generation was just so appalling.
Yeah.
And that's a lot to say, because homeboy is an Xbox, you know, is an Xbox fanboy.
Yeah. By the way...
Microsoft fanboy.
Yeah, you know, he loves Microsoft. And that's the other thing, you know, Cade, it's like... Bro, I don't need to convince you to get a PS5, because the only reason I could tell you to get a PS5, they're on PS4. God of War and Horizon. Those are the only reason to PS5. They're going to be on PS4. You're not missing anything. You do not need a PS5. You don't need any. You don't. I have a PS5. You don't need this fucking thing. You don't. You don't need an Xbox either.
Here's the thing. I can understand the part of it, because like I know some people have that like, because they see, it seems like everybody's like, oh man,
FOMO is called. You know,
Yeah, everybody else has it, and then you want to
fear of missing out. That's what FOMO means. Yep.
Oh, well, that's a new word to me. I never heard that.
Yeah. But see, anyway, I'm here to teach you, man. Yeah, FOMO, baby.
That sounds like another word.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no, it's not that. No, FOMO is a real word. Manny, it's all capitalized too. FOMO. Oh, yeah, fear of, even though it should be F small case O M O. You know, that's the AP style. But yeah, fear of missing out. So people, they see it, other people have it. I wanted to. There's nothing there, man. You know? Yeah,
I feel like, you know, wait it out. If you want to stay in the ecosystem, wait it out and see what things will show up. That's what I'm doing, man. Like I'm like, you know, then again, also I'm not playing as many games as I once did, but you know, I'm looking sort of what's that cornerstone thing that, you know, the list of cornerstone things that you are looking for, and which one of the consoles has that when you want it.
Yeah, see, Kate, you're making our answer very simple for us. He goes, I know about FOMO, but I feel zipped for PS5. There's nothing I'm scared of missing out there. So I don't get it.
Yeah, isn't it right now? Right, as of right as now, I mean, with you know, and just to say this, with the way things are right now, as far as technology, it's looking like we're not going to really see any sort of legitimate next gen games for a little while.
Yeah, it should be. Our boy Malik tweeted this out, Malik Forte. He goes, could this possibly be the longest generation because of what's going on? It might be, man. It might be, you know.
Well, I mean, are they saying the same thing about graphics cards? It's like,
yeah,
there's again, shortages like crazy, yeah. But they don't struggle at releasing new ones.
4090 Ti, like, bro, are you fucking kidding me right now? You know? But I think that may be, I've read that the 40 series is due to come out later this year. But after that, I think NVIDIA needs to just chill. Nobody can get your previous gen shits, you know?
Yeah.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. So, yeah, now I don't feel as bad about my graphics card being outdated. I'm pretty sure it's going to be holding me out for a little while, you know, because I don't think the game developer is going to be like, oh, let's start making shit for the 50 series or something, you know? That ain't going to happen, you know?
By the way, I will say this. If we can expect shortages to go on for years, I would say if you can find one, I would say get one if you're interested. If you know in the future you're going to get one, just for the mere fact that they're almost impossible to find, that's the only reason I would
talk to Fergus Mills.
We got our suppliers.
You know? All right, man. That was good. Nice, simple question. All right. related, Mob Hits, who's also been with us all night.
Mob rules.
He goes, oh, first of all, welcome back, fellas. Here's to another great year for the Throwdown crew. You already know.
Yeah, yeah.
And hopefully a great year for the fans, too, man. All right. First question.
And for humanity in general.
For, yeah, for everybody, you know. All right. Will 2022 be the year of...
I don't know. Unless they manage to make a shitload of PlayStations and games appear out of fucking nowhere, like Doctor Strange with those freaking portals in the last Spider-Man movie, that shit ain't happening.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's kind of hard to have a quote unquote year of PlayStation when you can't get a PlayStation 5. You know, so it'll be PS4 games, like we said before. That's not much to celebrate there. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think it's going to be anybody's year, you know, maybe I'm being too cynical about it, but I don't see how, just because you have two big games or three potentially with Gran Turismo 7, does that really make you the year of, I don't know about that. So no, you know what? I'm going to give an answer. No, I don't think it will be. I don't think it's going to be the year of any of these companies. You know, I think we're going to have another tepid year just like last one. You know, and I realize a bunch of games are coming out this year, but how many of those are going to get delayed? You know, and how many are you going to have actually time to play? You know, especially if they're all 500 hours long, you know? So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be the year of PlayStation or any of these companies. But, you know, that's just my thoughts. What about you guys?
I mean, just looking at the track record from the last couple of years, I don't think it'll be the year of anything. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, like Microsoft, because I know Microsoft has Starfield, but I don't know what else they're going to have. And PlayStation has God of War, and if that ever comes, and Horizon. But I don't know. I would bet on the year of no one more than the year of someone.
Yeah, I don't think it was one of those moments where we agree on Throwdown. Like, I don't know. I understand. It's like, yeah, we're a gaming podcast. We should be hyped for games. But I'm sorry, man. There's so little I give a fuck about this year, you know, when it comes to games. I'm like, eh, you know. But we'll see. You know, hopefully something will come around that, you know, hopefully there'll be another Guardians of the Galaxy situation where I came out like, oh, this is fucking great. You know,
what do they call it? You know, an unexpected, you know, high point.
Yeah.
You didn't know you wanted it until you played it.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, you know, just being honest, you no fakery around here. And like some other big popular gaming podcasts, like, no, bro, I'm not excited. Really? Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I want to play God of War Ragnarok. I want to play Forbidden West, but I already know what I'm getting with those, you know? Man, I'm pretty sure when I play them, I'll be like, oh, that's fucking crazy, you know? But right now, at the moment, I'm like, eh, you know, we'll see, you know? Because again, it is a little bit tough getting hyped for those games when I know they're on PS4. Just keeping it real, you know. If they were PS5 exclusives, then I'd probably be excited, you know. But yeah. Hold on, Moppets. Y'all think Hellblade 2 will come out this year? I don't think so. I doubt it.
No, I don't think so either.
I highly doubt it.
I think it'll take a little less time than the original Hellblade took to develop, because that took a good 5 years or so. They've been talking about that one for a
while.
This
one's been in development for a while too, though, you know?
Yeah, so yeah, I don't think it's coming out this year.
Yeah. What about you guys in the chat? What are you excited? Give us your
answer. What y'all excited about?
You know, while we move on to the next. All right. Also from Mob Hit, right? If you were to make a Star Wars game, who would be the protagonist and antagonist, and what setting would be in? It could be canon and non-canon. Brett, get in here. You're a resident Star Wars guy. If Brett's still around.
I would say make 1313. Fuck that.
That's my answer. Make 1313, man.
Yeah, that look cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who would you play? I mean, I would honestly have you make your own Jedi. And it's like the whole point of Star Wars is choosing dark or light. You know, it's the call of which side of the Force do you fall to. And I think making that the player's choice is a bigger impact of just saying like, you're a Sith.
Personally, you know, the one thing about it, like, I that's the one thing that bores me about a lot of the Star Wars content, because it always boils down to Jedi. Like, I personally would much rather have a wider range of characters to play rather than, hey, look, be a dark Jedi or be the light Jedi. I'm like, what if I just want to be Han Solo and make the Kessel Run or some shit? Or, you know, be like a Mandalorian. To be honest, those guys seem a lot more interesting than those stupid space monks.
Yeah, that's why my answer is like a game like Star Wars. I want to play as a fucking smuggler, you know, or bounty hunter or something. And for the setting, it's Star Wars is all the same, so what it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, you can put it on the Blade Runner planet. You can put it on the Dune planet.
Yeah, but no, Brett, this is your chance. I want you to go fucking crazy, you know, with your deep knowledge of Star Wars lore. You know, yeah.
Revan, if you're gonna choose a character, it should be Revan. You know, ironically, the character from the first Old Republic game, but he's one of the more iconic characters in the Star Wars universe in that he and Luke Skywalker are the two that can really switch between light and dark side with full command of both sides of the Force, which is a big deal. You can have gray Jedi and things like that, but and there are actually factions of Force users that aren't Jedi, and a lot of times it's used to make. Make a skill almost supernatural. So you could, you know, grow a story with like, oh, you're a Force-sensitive individual. Maybe you want to be a bounty hunter. You know, the fact that you can kind of tap into the Force is the reason that you can, you know, shoot a missile into the Death Star kind of thing.
Pretty much what Donnie Yen was. He wasn't a Jedi, but he was one with the Force, and the Force was with him. Little thing.
So just because you're Force-sensitive, I think it would be cool, yeah, not to necessarily pigeonhole you into Jedi. Like, maybe you could be a kind of a Jedi bounty hunter or a combo or something like that. But if you're talking like whose story is probably the most important aside from movies, it's got to be Darth Revan. You could talk about the fall of Mandalore. You could talk about the rise of the old Sith Empire, the Sith uprising, and the establishment of the rule of two. But that's almost too. I don't think that's got a wide enough audience for that.
Right.
Yes.
Have I ever told you the story of Plagueis the Wise?
You know, that could be a good one. It could be a good movie tie-in. I know a lot of people are like, I want to know this fucking story. But I think they need to re-retcon. They retconned Revan's story and made it kind of lame. But they should retell Revan's story, because it really helps frame dark side, light side in a different fashion.
All right. Anybody else?
I'd go for something like 1313, where you play as like a bounty hunter, and then you can like pseudo pick which side you want to work for, and then you can have it so that because you're a somewhat normal person in the universe, i.e. not a Jedi, or has like Force powers, you can be like hunted by people like that. That way you have an actual danger, because like these guys can just whip out lightning and pull you, push you, throw laser swords at you and stuff like that. So it's like real danger. Yeah. And then so it kind of becomes like Resident Evil in that aspect, where you're being like hunted down by like the Sith or the Jedi because you're aligned with either side.
When Brian like brought that up, the first thing that came to my mind is like a Star Wars cyberpunk kind of game. Because 1313 kind of is like that type of world. like the way that they were showing it in that demo.
I find it funny that three of us, you know, three out of five of us said 13-13, you know. That shit looks fucking dope, man. It's a shame that never came to fruition.
Wait, who were the three?
Me, Manny, and Brian. We all said 13-13. Oh, shit. Yeah.
I thought only Brian and Brett went. Okay, since you guys went, I'll go. I'll do a Watto backstory, origin story.
Hey, Annie. Only money.
Only money. Get the credits.
I'm a dead daddy, and my drinks don't work on me. Only money.
Maybe I would do a pod racing game.
Well, they already did one of those.
Our
racing game was pretty good. Well,
they already did an Old Republic game. So.
You used my line. This is pod racing.
This is pod racing.
Yeah, I like the N64 pod racing game. It was pretty fun. Yeah, because I don't know. I guess, you know, my Brett took probably the best answer. There was some lore kind of stuff that is not canon anymore that was post the original trilogy. That was pretty interesting, but it got retconned because of the bullshit sequel trilogy. But yeah, anything that's, you know, Old Republic time frame, like I don't really remember all of the stories, but I've had a lot of friends that are super hardcore like Star Wars nerds, and every time they would tell me like those types of stories, like they all sounded pretty. I mean, man, I always we never got it, but I always wanted the trailer, and Brett probably remembers the trailer for the Old Republic MMO from BioWare. Like that first trailer where it's all the Jedi's and the Sith are coming. It's like all out brawl. That kind of stuff is interesting.
Yeah, just don't give us another, you know, Masters of Teras Kasi. We don't need another one.
And we don't need one where a lot of younglings are dying.
Yeah. They should make a Star Wars game where you just play as that one garbage can robot, you know, boom.
Oh, boom, yeah.
Boom. Oh, Master man. Skywalker, they're all over the place. What are we going to do?
Yeah, <there's>, Oh man, a game as Anakin specifically from episode 2. I hate sand. It gets everywhere.
Well, the sand, that's called, we'll call it journey.
Yo. Oh man, all right, next question, bonus question for Mr. Bobbitz. We'll out because I think we only have one more question for tonight after this one. All right. If Captain N were to make a comeback, what characters would you guys choose as sidekicks? Remember Captain N from back in the day? Who would be more new Nintendo people he could have?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, to be honest, they'd actually should put Link in there. They should have Captain N should have had Link and Mario in there.
Yeah, that's what it should be, you know?
Yeah, but they got Mega Man with Kid Icarus, Simon Belmont, and
two of those guys aren't even Nintendo properties.
No, they're not. You know? They're not even Nintendo properties.
So yeah, I like that answer. Mario and they can get Donkey Kong in there. Why not? You know.
Yeah, Donkey Kong is essentially an actual Captain N as opposed to the Captain N was essentially he had other franchises.
Yeah, Captain Third Party. You know.
Captain Third Party. Yeah, because most of those characters are third party characters, with the exception of Mother Brain, because they didn't even have Samus in there.
Yeah. What? Okay. Make her a sidekick too. You know.
Eggplant Wizard. Yeah. What the fuck is that shit?
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? I'm pretty sure me and Manny are the only guys who saw Captain N.
We're going to be like, what we do to differentiate the franchise? We call it the real Captain N.
The real Captain N. Just like the real Ghostbusters.
Exactly.
All right, man. Good stuff. Last question of the night. Oh, boy. Logic Wins, who's been joining us. He also wishes us a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right. How do you each, who do you each believe, quote unquote, won the previous generation, you know, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, and why? He goes, feel free to use any criteria, hardware sales, which platform you spent the most amount of time on, etc. You know me. You know my metric for judging a console success. The money, the sales, and all that. So the easy answer is PlayStation 4. It sold the most, so that's a winner. You know, simple as that. By the way, I looked this up because I was like, ooh, did Switch PS4 by now? No, it didn't. It's getting there. The Switch has sold a little over 100 million. PS4 is 116. That's pretty impressive, you know? Pretty impressive. Apparently, the Switch already sold more than the Wii, you know? But yeah, that's I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's the only answer. It's PS4. It sold more, you know. And I don't hear any arguments.
You know? I mean, there's really no arguments on the to the contrary. And Switch is not even. I don't even know what gen that thing is.
Yeah, you know me. I consider that shit like seventh gen, the generation before PS4. You know, if we're talking in terms of hardware. Since you're there, I don't know if you want us to answer this a certain way, because I'm like, PS4 is a clear winner. There's no debate there, really. You know.
Yeah, but I mean, in all sincerity, I think nobody won generation. That was
that generation. Like, yeah, looking back at it, that generation was not that good.
What did you?
Yeah, it was like it picked up steam 2017, 2018. Then, you know, petered out. You know,
especially I'd say PC won.
PC, there you go. We're talking about console generation, but sure, you know,
it was the generation a lot of consoles lost their business to PC.
Oh,
Brett, I will concur.
I mean, yeah, PS4. There you go.
Yeah.
Again, it sold the most. That's it. That's all you really need, right there. You know.
It came out with the better public opinion too, by just about every.
Yeah, yeah. We kind of wish the guys who were running PS4 were also running PS5. That would be nice.
All those guys gone, son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
This generation, it's up in the air.
Yeah, we don't know.
Sales metrics, because there's limited supply, and public opinion is kind of skewed right now.
Yeah. PS5 is still selling more than Xbox, but not by a lot, because, again, you can't find any of these systems, you know? I don't know how the hell PlayStation managed to sell more if there's less. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's so hard to manufacture, but yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean... Yeah. The difference is small in the sense that, like,
yeah, it's not that big.
Everything that's been manufactured has been sold. So yeah. PlayStation, yes, has been able to manufacture more, but I don't know if you can use that as a metric anymore.
I got something to say about that. You know, this is just in the interest of expanding the time, because this is the last question. So Shaq was taught, you know, he tweeted about news or whatever, that he had, like, he gave away 100 PlayStations to kids, right? PS5. I'm like, how did he get those? Right, so the only answer, Shaq. But Shaq can't stop the chip shortage, right?
He can't stop the chip shortage, but he's fucking Shaquille O'Neal. He literally could just call up Sony, but hey, can you send me over 100 PlayStations? And they'd be like, "Fuck yeah, and we love you, Shaq."
And that's what I'm getting at. So, because Sony had said every PlayStation 5 we manufacture, we ship out right away. Yet Shaq got these, which leads me to believe that Sony has a bunch in stock, right? So isn't that kind of fucked up?
Did you think Sony was telling the truth to you?
Listen, I have to take my face value, right?
That, why? Like, this is... Why? How many times does somebody have to lie to you before you take my face value?
So do I have to just assume everything's a lie then? Like again, just going off of what they were saying. But Brett, regardless
of... You have to be dubious of everything. That's one of the things
both of you guys are missing my point. Sony said this, they did this. So what the fuck's going on here?
Well, no, I mean, he probably bought because he's Shaquille O'Neal, he called them up and said, I want to buy 500 PlayStations, 100 PlayStations, and they said yes.
So Sony's lying then.
Well, yeah. they shipped them out. They shipped it to fucking Shaq.
Yeah, no, I don't think
they're lying.
But they are lying, because they said every console that comes out of the assembly line immediately gets shipped out.
That is a lie.
Okay, thank you, Brett. That's what I wanted to know. They lied.
Definitely a lie.
The thing about it is that they get shipped out, but they could be sitting in the ship and sitting on that same ship in the middle of the fucking ocean somewhere.
Oh my god, yeah.
Well, maybe
Shaq had access to that. Let me get that ship.
Here's the thing. Like, I just think within Sony, all Shaq, you know, because he is fucking Shaquille O'Neal. He literally just calls him up and says, "I want 100 PlayStations, and you know, I want to give them away to a bunch of kids," and they just gave it to him.
How did they manufacture these with the chip shortage?
They probably did ship it straight from the fucking factory to fucking Shaquille O'Neal.
That's the only way. Lying. Yeah.
So they're not lying. They're shipping them out. They're just going to fucking Shaq.
Yeah, but you see what I'm getting at, right? Because I'm like, hold on, you guys, like Sony, you said this, that you're shipping them all out, and then you just so happen to have 100 in stock. You know?
No,
it's not in stock. They shipped it from the factory to him.
Yeah, hold on, Brett. We can hear you. Hold on a second, man. He's doing his thing.
here's the thing, like they shipped it to him. In other words, they didn't ship it over, like over on the, you know, the large quantities overseas. They said, okay, we got 100 PlayStations, we'll ship them straight to from the factory to you.
That's the only thing way we could work. Yeah.
Well, that's the, here's the thing. Like, that's how, like, ever notice how when we get, you get shipments from other countries, single shipments seem to go faster than actual, than store shipments.
I don't order from other countries.
I've done it quite a bit, and I've gotten stuff from DHL and a bunch of other things, so a lot quicker than actually getting stuff from legitimate stores, because all local postage is all fucked up and all shipping is fucked up. But I don't mean singles, these other shipments aren't. So that's what they did. They just said, all right, we'll put it on a plane and send it to you. And they got it.
Yeah. All right, Bray, go ahead.
Cody, you're thinking that when they say they ship them out, that like they make them and then they ship them out to customers or retailers, right? Like,
yeah, to retailers specifically.
Yeah, yes. They go into the pipeline.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily what they mean. They can literally ship it to anybody, Shaquille O'Neal included, and it still technically be that. So they could either have, you know, like hold back production until there's 100 of them and then send, you know, yes, they are technically sending little Joey's PlayStation to Shaq instead, and little Joey just gets pushed back up the queue. So yeah, they're shipping out, but that just think of it like what they're actually saying is, as soon as we make them, we sell them. And honestly, they don't care to who. They haven't taken any sort of steps to ensure that there's a queue or a line or that people who really want them.
Well, that's why so many scalpers have them, because they don't care who buys them, you know? That is a huge issue.
And that's shown. And so when I'm saying this, I'm not being like, ah, tinfoil hat. Like, Sony has shown a complete disregard to who buys their consoles as long as they've been sold. So, of course, they would have no problem saying, the next 100 PlayStations, send them to Shaq. Because, yeah, he can place a big enough order to pretty much be a large chain store by himself.
Yeah, that's right. 100 of them. Yeah, again, yeah. That's my main question. I'm like, okay, you have this fucking shortage. How is this happening? It must be that, like, hey, the next 100, go to Shaq. That's the only way it could work, you know?
Yeah, they took 100 out of the line and they just gave them to Shaq.
Yeah, because under normal circumstances, obviously, Sony would have a bunch of them in stock, you know?
But you would think, as like, you know, if you're sitting there waiting for it, you're like, okay, I need this shipment to drop. You'd think that Shaq would go, he'd put in his order. They'd say, okay, we're going to, you know, put you in line after, you know, after these, we already have these promised out to these retailers and these customers. You know, you'd think they'd put him in line.
No, they wouldn't put him in line. He's Shaquille O'Neal. They're going to give him priority.
Yeah.
You know.
Give it to Shaq.
It's amazing. It's, you know, all you need to do is just be famous, and then you just get to skip the line.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
You're gonna give me the. You're gonna give me these PS5s. You're gonna like it.
Give me the PS5s.
You remember in the previous question I was talking about getting a PlayStation. Get famous, and then you can get yourself a PlayStation.
Right. You know. Barry Burns says Shaq got it from Soldier Boy.
Nah, Soldier Boy wouldn't sell him a PS5. He'd sell him like a knockoff PS5. You know, the ones that we've been seeing. There's been this goofy knockoff version that's like tiny.
Oh, this is interesting. Mob Hits goes, like I said, last year I'm buying a PlayStation 5 Slim in 2023. I'll be honest, I don't think they're going to make a Slim version this generation. They can't manufacture the regular one, you know?
Yeah. I mean, obviously this... When this thing was designed, it was designed at a point where they were just sort of, I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be a Slim 5.
Yeah. For consistency's sake, I did say we will see a Slim, right? That was last year. This year, I don't think so. Like, the situation is not getting any better, and it probably won't for a while, you know? Like, I'm just saying what analysts are saying, that things are not going to get better until 2023 with the you know, chip shortage and all that other shit. So
exactly, we're going to see a 10-year generation on this motherfucker.
Yeah, unfortunately. So the only way Slim will happen, I'm talking about in the current state, no way is it happening. If things get better, then obviously we will see a Slim. You know,
but no. Think about it, right? There's a chip shortage. Materials are hard to come by, and they realize this. And they may run into this again when they launch their next generation. So how do they artificially extend the generation? Well, they release a Slim once sales start to droop, right? Because it's not a time thing. It's reactive to sales. As soon as people start losing interest in the regular PlayStation, boom, they're going to make a Slim. And then when people start losing interest in that, boom, they're going to make a Pro. They're going to try really hard to avoid another – generation rollover until they know that they have the, you know, the supplies to be able to make the hardware. So I foresee this being like, God,
I don't,
worst case scenario, this could be a 12-year generation is what I would put my money on.
And Brett, you know me, I'm a stickler for words, right? I have to take point. I have to take, you have to call out a word you specifically said. Artificial, right? I don't think there's anything artificial about this. I think the generation just be elongated just because of the bullshit going on in the world. I don't think it's going to be like, oh, how do we extend this generation longer? Like, no, no, it's just going to be 10 years just because it can't be helped, you know?
Well, it's going to be 10 artificially extended in the sense that they're not going to push to advance things while everything's in a standstill. And so they'll basically look and say, there's still more money to be milked out of this. Because computers are not progressing much slower, right? Like, we're still getting new chipsets. We're still seeing advancements. So we're going to see a widened gulf between computational advancements and where this generation lies. And that's what I mean, they'll artificially kind of extend it.
Okay, gotcha. Like,
well, we can kind of still get some more money out of this, even though technically you would think that when it gets this far behind, you know, PC GPUs, that we'd upgrade it. So I think the end of this generation is going to be one of those, like, fucking upgraded already. These graphics look like shit. And it's going to be 10, 12 years, some bullshit like that.
Oh, my God. That's going to be terrible. Yeah, because, I mean, these consoles are already getting outdated by the shit that's coming out now, so...
Yeah, but if you think about it, they haven't even started the clock on the lifespan of this generation yet in terms of sales and, you know, how they're looking at it.
Yeah, because the generation hasn't started yet, if you really think about it. We're still on last gen.
Yeah, but, you know, chips are still advancing. So that's what I mean when I say artificially extended, because you usually see PCs or consoles at least kind of trying to keep somewhat on par with a mid-grade to low-grade PC. Once you start getting games that are on PC that you just can't play on a console, that's when things start to get problematic.
Man, imagine if that happens. That'll be crazy.
I'm afraid it will, because, like, you can have, like, oh, they just invented this new chipset. Cool, where is it? Well, they invented one, and now they don't have the stuff to make more. Actually, but there is one.
I'm gonna give you something to kind of prove your point. Cyberpunk should not have been released on last gen, man. Very clear that game couldn't be run on those systems, you know? So we may see more situations like that where a game comes out and everything. It's like, oh, this runs like shit on consoles, you know?
But they want to make the sales, and so they make sure that it can run across all consoles, which means they tamp down the graphics. And that's what I mean by, you know, artificially extending.
Yeah. This generation is going to suck. This generation is going to be terrible. This one's actually going to be worse than last.
I'm trying not to be a naysayer about it. Yeah, I'm trying to be a naysayer about it, but man, it is not off to a good fucking start.
Yeah, but again, what do we do on Throwdown, man? We keep it real around here, and we can't give you a positive outlook when things look this fucking grim, you know?
We're not like the crystal ball. Outlook looks good, or something like that.
So yeah,
the eight ball, right?
Yeah, so Brett, I don't think you're being negative. I think you're being realistic as fuck right now, dude, you know?
Yo, man, you're keeping it real, Brett. You're
keeping it real up in the field, right? Real.
Well, I think he's being negatively realistic.
Negatively? You got to explain that one. Is there a thing as positively realistic?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's out of all the realistic outcomes, we can positively say that this will be a better generation than last generation. But negatively speaking, or negative realistically, would be like, this is going to get, it can't get any better. We're all in shit, you know. This last generation was crap, and we're following the same suit.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, what are we, like, two years into? No, hold on, how long is it? Fucking Rona's messed everything up.
One year and a few months.
Okay, and this generation's been fucking the trash heap, you know. So I'm hoping it gets better, but it's like, I don't know, man. And then last gen was pretty bad too, you know, the tail end of it specifically. Like, bro, what are we doing here? I don't know. I wish we could give you
million hour Assassin Creed games.
Oh yeah, let's go. Oh God, kill me. Can't do this.
In this day and age of being able to communicate in so many ways, that there'd be somehow that we could transfer our wishes to the game developers. Just say, we want this, because they don't really seem to have a very firm grasp on the things that gamers are super excited about right now.
I don't even think gamers know what they're excited about, to be fair, you know? Anyway, that's a topic for another day. All right, we're done. Good episode. I enjoyed this very much. Again, no Adam and Chris action. They're both out because they're parents, you know. Like they get tired, man. They get tired, you know. Oh God, blockchain. That's gonna fuck everything up with gaming too. NFTs. This is gonna be a great generation.
this whole fucking like game to what is it?
Oh, game to earn. Game to earn.
And like, yeah, some people want to be able to give back, and we want to create an avenue for them. Like, no, nobody wants to work for you for free, asshole.
Oh my God, stop it. Stop it now.
But you get the metaverse. Exposure.
Yeah, you get exposure. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, let's start wrapping things up here. Manny, do you have anything to plug?
No, not right now. It's the beginning of the year. It's all things I can't talk about or anything like that. I'll keep you in tune.
Looking, by the way, you are actually looking crisper on that camera. Very good stuff. Very good. You know,
it runs really good.
Yeah. The Nuke. Go watch Walking Dead or whatever. What's it? I'm Negan. Spotify.
I'm Negan. There you go.
I'm Negan on Spotify.
Doing I Am Negan Spotify, you know, The Nuke. And, you know, I have to do my roadie runs. I got to watch my Walking Dead. You can watch it on I Am Negan Podcast on thecoalition.com. That's the coalition with a K, where Adam Vale hosts and Richard Bailey Jr. joins, you know, as well as myself. And it's a great podcast where we talk about everything Walking Dead, the world beyond, the fear of the Walking Dead, and the Walking Dead proper, which should come back late February. And yeah. Make sure to stay tuned. I Am Negan. It's on Spotify. It's on all the podcasting platforms or on thecoalition.com.
Coalition. Yeah, by the way, if you guys saw me doing a face right now, it's what Mob Hits just said. And I wish it was fake. I wish it was fake. He goes, Samsung is bringing out their TV sets that are NFT ready. I'm not making that up. Like, why?
How does that
so you get this? Yeah, it's like, so you get to display your NFT on your television. No, but it's a real thing. We reported on it. I'll link you to it.
Oh, so it runs JPEGs.
Yeah, you can put it on a TV.
Don't TVs already like display JPEGs?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know what they're doing is they're sticking a pin in it because it's a word that it's a word that's trending these days. So they're like, hey, it runs your NFTs. Yes, it does run your NFT. It runs anything. As long as you have it on a pen drive.
Yeah. Yo, but is it that code, though? Is it a unique code?
Yeah, you know.
It's, it does have I swear, it's like these people have never heard of, like, arts.
God. But can it play MIDI files?
Yeah, you know. There was a point in time where I did collect MIDI, because I was fascinated by them.
Yeah. Logic Windows, I think Thanos snapped us without us realizing it. It may be we're all in hell right now, you know.
What was that world that they ended up in? That red world, the death world.
Maybe we're there.
Yeah.
You know, we got the Ronin, all this bullshit.
Mm-hmm. I'm convinced, man, because life is like a satire of itself, man.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's wrap it up here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter, and join the Discord where Mob Hits is always dropping the hottest of hottest and speculation. You could also find Throwdown on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show, two words, Throwdown Show. Visit throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you are on YouTube and you enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when new episodes go up. For you guys, for YouTube guys, it's Monday and Friday nights. Yeah, for Friday and Sunday, in that order. But that's it. So, links for everything down below in case you forget. Even on Twitch right now, if you're watching it live, just scroll down a little. All the links. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys. Also, check out the Elgato face cam.
Yeah.
Not a plug.
I wish. Carlos Romero.
Hey, take care, everyone. The Nuke.
Brett Murdoch.
It's from real people.
And Brian Majoma.
When you reach that odd point when you realize that Peter Parker uses the Daily Beagle as his OnlyFans.
He does. Yeah, no, you're right, man. Mind blown. All right, people, we will see you on the flip side. Later.
Hey,